Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Finally, the Israeli Defense Forces, after thousands of missiles have rained down upon the civilian cities of Israel, after Israel had been promised that if they just give Gaza over to the Palestinian Authority terrorists, that such suicide bombings and indiscriminate war criminal acts of sending rockets upon civilian cities would cease. Obviously, it's not. But after thousands of missiles have come from Gaza onto Israeli civilian populations, the Israeli Defense Forces finally began to take action. And now the ground forces are going in. And let us hope that the purpose is not just to strengthen the hands of Fatah under Abu Mazen or Mohammed Abbas, who got his PhD for a thesis denying the Holocaust from Moscow University. Yes, this is the same man who pushed wheelchair-bound Leon Klinghoffer into the Mediterranean to drown. This is the same man who was the paymaster for the Munich Olympic terrorist shootings. The same man. Let us hope the IDF is not going into Gaza to strengthen his hands for the giving over of the mountains of Israel to his leadership in Fatah control, because this giving up of the mountains of Israel to the enemies of the God of Israel, to the people who hate Israel and who hate the God of Israel, this act is the one explicit single thing in the entire Holy Bible that is said to cause the fury of God Almighty to come up in his face. And we know there's going to be a 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. And it's happening. But it's very easy to be distracted. We need to keep our eyes on Jerusalem. That's going to be the epicenter of the whole thing. And in this plan is a plan to make the capital of this new moon god terrorist state to be East Jerusalem. Though all the nations be set against it, the Lord will again choose Jerusalem, and all that burden themselves with Jerusalem shall be cut in pieces. Why does the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction always seem to be making the Jewish problem and the state of Israel such a top priority? Those who know the scriptures from cover to cover are likely to understand. However, the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction is causing America to sell its birthright as surely as Esau, with their roadmap from hell plan to destroy the state of Israel for the Arab moon god of Islam. And what follows is an easily verifiable factual history of the modern state of Israel to prove this point. The so-called Jewish problem is just another name for the fact that the Jews are the most universally hated and persecuted ethnic group in history. In fact, the constant of history, that which does not change in history, is the constant of Jew hate. It's an irrational hatred. The truth behind this irrational hatred is that man is born at enmity with God, and naturally has enmity for the one true God, who identified himself to the world which he created as the God of Israel. Before the modern state of Israel became a reality in 1948, many Jews and Gentiles alike believed that hatred of Jews was a direct consequence of the Jews' stateless condition since the Roman armies destroyed their nation in 70 AD. As long as the Jews were aliens in every society in which they found themselves, they would always be seen as unauthorized meddlers in the affairs of any state. As long as Jews were aliens in the states in which they were born or had immigrated, their loyalties would be suspect and persecution would follow. A classic example of such suspicion and persecution was what happened to Captain Alfred Dreyfus, whom the French anti-Semites falsely accused of spying. Dreyfus was put on trial for treason by the French government in the 19th century. Theodor Herzl was an assimilated, westernized Jew who witnessed the Dreyfus frame-up in Paris and went on to lead the Zionist movement. Herzl and other Zionist founders believed that if Jews had a nation of their own, just that fact would normalize their condition in the community of nations. Jews had been without a state since the Romans expelled them from Judea and the west bank of the Jordan River in almost 2,000 years earlier. Once the Jews obtained a homeland, and the Judean wilderness certainly seemed the logical place, they would begin to be, and they would again be, in fact, like other peoples. The Zionists believed that anti-Semitism would then wither on its own self-destructive vine, and the Jewish problem would disappear. In the 1920s, among their final acts as the winners of the First World War, the British and French created the states that now define the Middle East. They created these states out of the ashes of the empire of their defeated Turkish adversary. In a region that the Ottoman Turks had controlled for hundreds of years, Britain and France drew the boundaries of the new states, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. Before this division of the lands and establishment of new Arab states in the Middle East, the British had promised the Jewish Zionists that they could establish a national home in a portion of what remained of the area, which was known as the Palestine Mandate. In 1921, the British separated 80% of the Palestine Mandate east of the Jordan and created the Arab Kingdom of Transjordan. It was created for the Arabian monarch King Abdullah, who had been defeated in tribal warfare in the Arabian Peninsula and lacked a seat of power. Abdullah's tribe was the Hashemites, while the vast majority of Abdullah's subjects were Palestinian Arabs. What was left of the original Palestine Mandate between the west bank of the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea had been settled by Jews and Arabs. Jews, in fact, had lived in the area continuously for 3,700 years, even after the Romans destroyed their state in Judea in AD 70. Arabs became the dominant local population for the first time in the 7th century as a result of the Muslim invasions. The Palestinian Arabs were largely nomads who had no distinctive language or culture to distinguish them from other Arabs. In all the time since, they had made no attempt to create an independent Palestinian Arab state west or east of the Jordan, and none was ever established. In 1948, at the request of the Jews who were living in Palestine, the United Nations voted to partition the remaining quarter of the original mandate to make a Jewish homeland possible. And under the partition plan, the Arabs were given the mountains of Israel. The mountains of Israel had always been the Jews' ancient home in Judea and Samaria, now known as the West Bank. The Jews were allotted three small pieces of disconnected land along the Mediterranean and the Sinai Desert. They were also given access to their holy city of Jerusalem. However, Jewish access to Jerusalem was only as an island cut out from the three small land sections surrounded by Arab land and under international control. 60% of the land allotted to the Jews was the Negev Desert. Even out of that desolate piece of wilderness, the Jews created a new modern state of Israel. The idea of a Palestinian nation or a movement to create one did not exist. All the time of modern Israel's birth as a state, Palestinian Arabs lived on roughly 90% of the original Palestinian mandate in Transjordan and in the UN petition area. However, some of the Palestinian Arabs also lived in the new state of Israel. There were 800,000 Arabs living alongside about 1.25 million Jews. At that time, though it was accepted that the Arabs could live in the new state of Israel, the Jews were not allowed and were legally barred from settling in the 35,000 square miles of Palestinian Transjordan, which eventually was renamed Jordan. The Arab population in the small pieces of land called Israel had actually more than tripled since the Zionists first began settling the region in significant numbers in the 1880s. The reason for this increase was that the Jewish settlers had brought industrial and agricultural development with them, and this attracted the Arab immigrants to what had previously been a wilderness and an economically destitute area. If the Palestinian Arabs had been willing to accept this arrangement, which gave them 90% of the land in the Palestine Mandate, and where they benefited from the industry and enterprise and political freedom of the Jews that the Jews brought to the region, there would have been no Middle East conflict. However, the Arab League, representing five neighboring Arab states, declared war on Israel on the day of its creation. Five Arab armies invaded the new little state of Israel. And during the fighting, an estimated 472,000 Arabs fled their homes to escape the danger. I want you to remember that number, 472,000, according to the UN observers who were stationed there in that place at that time. Those 472,000 Arabs planned on returning after the Arab victory and the destruction of the Jewish state. But the Jews, many of whom were recent Holocaust survivors, refused to be defeated. Instead, the five Arab armies that had invaded the tiny new nation were defeated. And though they were defeated, they would not agree to peace. Even though their armies were beaten, the Arab states were determined to carry on their campaign of destruction, and to this day remain formally at war with the state of Israel. After the defeat of the Arab armies, the Palestinians who lived in the Arab area of that UN partition did not attempt to create a state of their own. Rather, the so-called Palestinians, who for the most part are Jordanians, rejoiced in 1950 when Jordan annexed the entire West Bank. So everyone should understand that at least since 1950, though there never was an aspiration for a Palestinian state, there has actually been a Palestinian state called Jordan since the 1920s. Israel must stop the insanity of making agreements with the terrorists, which have never, nor do they intend to keep any of their agreements. Israel should long ago have made it clear and unequivocal that Jordan is the only official and only representative of the Palestinians with whom Israel will discuss anything regarding the so-called Palestinians. Israel has every reason to cut off any and all direct discussions with the Palestinian terrorist regimes. God forbid that anyone in Israel would consider expanding the proven folly of the establishment of Gaza-Hamasistan. It should be clear to everyone in Israel and anyone who is not so deceived as to be sympathetic with terrorists why God commanded, make no covenant with them. But sadly, the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction continues to force such proven folly and insanity to appease the moon god of the Arabs for the love of Islamic oil money. There are many financial advisors today who say that Saudi Arabia today has more control over the U.S. economy than does the Federal Reserve Bank. As a result of Jordan's annexation and the continuing state of war, the Arab refugees who had fled the tiny new state of Israel did not return. There was a refugee flow into Israel, but it was a flow of Jews who had been expelled from the Arab countries. All over the Middle East, Jews were forced to leave their lands that they had lived on for centuries. And although Israel was a tiny geographical area and a very newly formed state, its government welcomed and resettled 600,000 Jewish refugees from the Arab countries. And the Jews resumed their work of creating a new nation in what was now a continuous small piece of land. Israel had annexed a small amount of territory to make their state defensible, including a land bridge that included Jerusalem. In the years that followed, the Israelis made their desert bloom. They built the only industrialized economy in the entire Middle East. They built the only state in the Middle East that was some form of a democracy. They treated the Arabs who remained in Israel as free and equal citizens of Israel. And to this day, the very large Arab minority, which lives inside the state of Israel, has more rights and privileges than any other Arab population in the entire Middle East. And this is especially true of the Arabs living under the corrupt, violent dictatorship of the Palestinian Authority that now administers the West Bank and Gaza, Hamasistan. The Arab subjects of the Palestinian Authority have no human rights. In 1997, in a fit of outrage against the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian spokesman, Edward Said, himself blurted this out, calling Arafat our Papa Doc, like the sadistic dictator of Haiti. Edward Said was complaining that there was total absence of law or the rule of law in the Palestinian autonomy areas. The present Middle East conflict is said to be about the so-called occupied territories, the West Bank of the Jordan and the Gaza Strip. The conflict is supposed to be about Israel's refusal to give them up. But during the first 20 years of the Arab-Israeli conflict, Israel did not control the West Bank. In 1950, when Jordan annexed the West Bank, there was no Arab outrage, and the Middle East conflict with the Jews did not subside. Who cannot see the insanity of requiring Israel to form a Palestinian state of Hamasistan 10 times larger than the insane horror of the Gaza-Hamasistan state? The reason there was no Arab outrage over the annexation of the West Bank was because Jordan is a state whose ethnic majority is Palestinian Arabs. On the other hand, the Palestinians of Jordan are disenfranchised by the ruling Hashemite minority. The same is true over in Syria. And despite this fact, in the years following the annexation, the Palestinians displayed no interest in achieving self-determination in Hashemite Jordan. It's only the presence of Jews or Christians, don't forget that, it's only the presence of Jews or Christians, like in the Palestinian Authority control of Bethlehem has shown, which puts the burr under the Palestinian saddle. But no, there's more to it. Gaza became Hamasistan with the expulsion of all the Jews and Christians in 2005. There's still about 3,000 Christians left there, but there's no Jews in Gaza. Did the bloodshed and violence in Gaza stop? No way. Muslims kill Muslims. And the Muslims' deaths increase when Islamic terrorists have their own terror state free of Jews and Christians. The idea that the current conflict is about the so-called occupied territories is just another big lie of the religion of lies. It's sad how widely this lie and duplicity is accepted. Satan's largest religion is a religion which glorifies lying, stealing, killing, and destroying for Lucifer, their moon god. In 1967, Egypt, Syria, and Jordan attacked Israel again. By definite and obvious miracles, for a second time, Israel defeated these combined Arab armies. It was in withstanding these aggressors that Israel came to control the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, as well as the oil-rich Sinai Desert. Israel had every right to annex these territories captured from the aggressors. Never in history has it ever been otherwise. And this is how Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Jordan had come into existence when the British and French formed those states from their victory over the Ottoman Turks in World War I. But Israel, for some strange reason, did not annex those territories. On the other hand, neither did it withdraw its armies or relinquish its control. The reason was that the Arab aggressors, once again, refused to make peace, and instead they declared themselves still at war with Israel, which is a threat that no Israeli government can ignore. By this time, Israel had become a country of almost 3 million. Israel remains surrounded by declared enemies whose combined population is well over 100 million. In terms of land, they have 1/6 of 1% of the land that the British and French took from the Ottoman Turks and gave to the Arabs. Sections of Israel were less than 10 miles across, and no responsible Israeli government could relinquish a territorial buffer while its hostile neighbors were still formally at war with them. And this is the reality that frames this Middle East conflict. In 1973, 6 years after the Second Arab War against the Jews, the Arab armies again attacked Israel. The attack was led by Syria and Egypt and aided by Iraq, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and 5 other countries who gave military support to the aggressors. Iraq even sent an Iraqi division of 18,000 men into the Yom Kippur War. Israel again defeated the Arab forces. And after that defeat, Egypt, and only Egypt, agreed to make a formal peace. The peace was signed by Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, who was subsequently assassinated by the Islamic radicals. Sadat is one of 3 Arab leaders assassinated by other Arabs for making peace with Jews. The Camp David Accords that Sadat signed saw Israel return the entire Sinai with all its oil fields. The act of returning the Sinai to Egypt demonstrated once and for all that the solution to the Middle East conflict only required the willingness of the Arabs to agree to end their state of war. But sadly, that's against their satanic moon god jihad religion of war. It is this demonic, irrational Jew hate which allows the corrupt Islamic regimes to maintain control of their populations. Satan's largest religion glorifies lying in contracts and requires the killing or enslavement of all non-Muslims, both Jews and Christians. Now, this is something you better not forget. Both Jews and Christians, people of the book as their Quran calls us, are priority target number one to be killed for the moon god of Islam. The Middle East conflict is not about Israel's occupation of the mountains of Israel. The Middle East conflict is about the moon god religious refusal of the Arabs to make peace with Israel. It is the religious duty of everyone submitted to the moon god religion to kill and destroy Israel and its Jews, and also to destroy America and Europe and their Christians, not to mention the Buddhists and Hindus of the Far East. The Palestinians and their supporters also claim that the Middle East conflict is about the Palestinians' desire for a state and the refusal of Israel to accept their aspiration. This claim is also false. Gaza-Hamasistan proved that in spades. The rockets that are fired nonstop out of Gaza-Hamasistan on the civilian population of Israel make that abundantly clear. However, beyond that, look at the facts of recent history. The Palestine Liberation Organization was created in 1964, 16 years after the establishment of Israel. The PLO was created 16 years after the first Arab war to annihilate Israel. The PLO was created at a time that the West Bank was not under Israeli control. The PLO was created when the mountains of Israel were part of Jordan. The PLO obviously was not created so that the Palestinians could achieve self-determination in Jordan. At the time the PLO was created, Jordan made up 90% of the original Palestine Mandate. The PLO's express purpose, in the words of its own leaders, was to push the Jews into the sea. The official charter of the PLO refers to the Zionist invasion. The PLO charter declares that Israel's Jews were not an independent nationality. The PLO charter describes Zionism as racist and fascist and still calls for the liquidation of the Zionist presence. If anyone doubts this, just find a copy in English on the internet. Or better still, just ask a Palestinian. The PLO Charter still specifies that armed struggle is the only way to liberate Palestine. How could anyone not understand that the PLO defines liberation to mean the destruction of the State of Israel? The PLO was not even created by Palestinians. The PLO was created by corrupt dictators of the Arab League who rule the Middle East and who have attempted to destroy Israel by military force since 1948 and in 1967 and again in 1973. For 30 years, the PLO Charter remained unchanged in its call for Israel's destruction. Then, in the mid-1990s, under enormous international pressure following the 1993 Oslo Accords, PLO leader Arafat removed the clause in English, but you can still find it on today's Arabic websites and in all the unofficial, still very real, Islamic websites. It has not changed, but is nothing other than a lying hudna that every Arab bound in Islam knows is still there. Arafat assured his followers that its removal was a necessary compromise that did not alter the movement's goals. He did explicitly and clearly explain this to be a hudna, even citing the historical precedent which the Prophet Muhammad insincerely agreed to a peace with his enemies in order to gain time to mass the forces with which he intended to destroy them. The Middle East struggle is not about right against right. It's about a 59-year effort by the Arabs to destroy the Jewish state. It's about the refusal of the Arab states in general, and the Palestinian Arabs in particular, to accept Israel's existence. If the Arabs were willing to do this, there would be no occupied territories, and there would be a Palestinian state. In fact, there always has been such a Palestinian state called Jordan. It's time to stop the insanity of the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction. It's time for Israel to clearly state that only Jordan will be recognized as the legitimate representatives of the Palestinian Arabs. During the Oslo peace process, when the PLO pretended to recognize the existence of Israel, and the Jews allowed the creation of the Palestinian Authority, the non-compliance of the Palestinian Authority to their agreements has made it abundantly clear that the PLO's goal was and remains the destruction of Israel. The Palestinian self-determination is clearly the satanic determination to destroy Israel. This is again made clear in their newly created demand of a right of return to Israel of 5 million Arabs. The PLO demands 5 million Arabs. Remember now, there were 472,000 Arabs that left in 1948, and now the PLO demands the right of return of 5 million. 5 million Arabs and no Israel, no Jews, and no Christians. And no America or Europe unless it will submit to the satanic bondage of the moon god religion of Islam. The figure of 5 million refugees who must be returned to Israel is more than 10 times the number of Arabs who actually left that tiny new Jewish state of the British Mandate in 1948. This absurd new right of return of 5 million reveals the Palestinians' genocidal agenda for the Jews. The so-called right of return is itself a calculated mockery of the primary reason for Israel's existence. One of the sad facts of modern history is the fact that no country would provide a refuge for Jews fleeing Hitler's extermination program during World War II. It's only because the world turned its back on the Jews when their survival was at stake that the State of Israel grants a so-called right of return to every Jew who asks for it. There is no genocidal threat to Arabs. There's no lack of international support militarily and economically to the Arabs. There is no Palestinian diaspora. It's simply the moon god propensity of duplicity that has cynically appropriated the very term right of return to describe the Palestinians' self-inflicted predicament. The fact that many Arabs, including the Palestinian spiritual leader, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, supported Hitler's final solution only serves to compound the insult. It's even further compounded by the fact that more than 90% of the Palestinians now live in the West Bank and Gaza-Hamasistan have never lived a day of their lives in territorial Israel. The claim of a so-called right of return is just an inflammatory expression of contempt for the Jews and for their historic suffering. It's just a blatant expression of contempt for the very idea of a Jewish state. The incorporation of 5 million Arabs into Israel would render the Jews a permanent minority in their own country, and it would thus spell the end of Israel. The Arabs fully understand this, and that's why they have made it a fundamental demand. It's just one more instance of the general bad faith and duplicity of the Arab side that has been manifested through every chapter of these tragic events. And it also makes clear why God said, make no covenant with them in Exodus 23:32 and Deuteronomy 7:2. What's really sad proof of the Arabs' duplicity is their deplorable treatment of the Palestinian refugees. How can the Arab Islamic states, for over a half a century, almost 60 years now, refuse to relocate them or alleviate their condition? They much rather prefer their Palestinian Arab brethren to be political pawns of political Islam. And this is disgusting, and proof again that Satan is the moon god of Islam. Israel has continued to make the desert bloom. Israel, while successfully relocating 600,000 Jewish refugees from Arab states, built a thriving industrial society. There is a light of freedom that Israel gives in the Islamic world of otherwise dark satanic bondage in the Middle East. At the same time Israel was making the desert bloom and assimilated 600,000 Jewish refugees who were forced out of the Arab countries, the Arabs were busy making sure that their Arab refugees remained in squalid refugee camps in the West Bank and Gaza. Yes, their own Arab Islamic brethren are most primarily responsible for keeping the Palestinian Arabs powerless, without any rights, economically destitute, and educated in a culture of death and hopelessness, which is Islam's crown of disgrace, as far as I'm concerned. After almost 60 years, after the first Arab war against Israel, there are 59 such refugee camps and 3.7 million refugees registered with the UN, despite economic aid from the UN and Israel. 60 years as refugees, in spite of all the oil wealth of the Arab Islamic oil dictatorships. Still, after watching their Palestinian Islamic brothers suffer as their political pawns, still they keep them locked in this state. No, it's not Israel that keeps the Palestinians in a refugee state of hopelessness. It's their Islamic Arab brethren who have continued to use them as political pawns for nearly 60 years. The Arab leaders have refused to do what the most basic of human decency would have done for their own brethren, and have the same language. Yeah, the Palestinians have the same language, culture, and religion, and these people keep them in this sorry state for almost 60 years. Islam is positively satanic, and the 60 years of the Palestinian refugee camps proved this in spades. How come all the Islamic oil wealth could not make any relief of the refugees from their miserable camps? How come all that Islamic oil money could not make the economic investment that would alleviate their condition? How come the Palestinian Arabs are not allowed to immigrate to neighboring Arab states? There are now 22 Arab states which could provide homes for these people with the same Arabic language, the same culture, and the same religion. And of those 22 Arab Islamic nations, only Jordan will allow Palestinian Arabs to become citizens. The other 21 Arab states insist that they stay refugees to be used as political pawns in the satanic religious war against Jews and Christians. The refusal to address the condition of the Palestinian refugee population is and always has been an insidious, calculated Arab policy. The Islamic states have used the Palestinian refugees, keeping them in a state of desperation in order to incite their hatred of Israel for the wars to come. the mosques and schools of the Arabs generally, and the Palestinians in particular, preach and teach Jew hatred every day. Elementary school children in Palestinian Arab schools are even taught to chant, "Death to Jews, death to the monkeys and pigs," in their classrooms. The textbooks in the Palestinian Authority are filled with incitement to hate the monkeys and pigs, and that means the people of the book, Jews and Christians. It should be understood that the policies of deprivation of the Palestinian refugees by their Islamic neighbors and teaching of hatred of Jews and Christians is done without any allowable protest from any part of the Palestinian or Arab society. And those who would say something against those two policies would have been quickly murdered, and many people have been murdered if they dared to speak out against this insanity. And that fact should speak volumes about the Middle East conflict. All wars, especially wars that have gone on for almost 60 years, produce victims with just grievances on both sides. And there's plenty of individual Palestinian victims, and there are certainly thousands of Jewish victims as well. However, as there are Jewish victims familiar with the horrors seen on the nightly news every night, there are also Palestinian victims. But the overall Palestinian grievance is self-inflicted. It is the designed result of Islamic Arab policy to use the desperation of the Palestinian refugees and using deceit to teach hatred and misdirected vengeance. It's a result of planned, preached, and educated bigotry and exploitation of their own people. It is the religion of Islam to hate and show no mercy or generosity to subhuman non-Muslims. Israel is an open, quasi-democratic, multi-ethnic, multicultural society. Israel includes a large Arab minority, which are given full Israeli citizen rights. The Palestinian Authority, whether it is the so-called good Fatah terrorists or the bad Hamas terrorists, doesn't make any difference. In the Palestinian Authority, whether it's called good Fatah terrorists or bad Hamas terrorists, is an intolerant terrorist police state. The Palestinian Authority can have only one dictatorial leader, whose main goal is to keep from being killed by those who seek the dictator's position, as he steals as much as possible from the funds donated to help the Palestinian refugees. And that really is how it has been through the whole history of the modern state of Israel. The criminal methods and dishonest goals of the Palestinian Liberation Movement, the PLO, Fatah, or so-called good terrorists, should be clearly seen by anyone who would know or have any regard for the truth. The Palestinian Authority is a criminal terrorist regime foundationally based upon the irrational, satanic hatred of Jews. Christians who would hold up the truth regarding the Palestinian Authority terrorist organization are equally, though perhaps less vocally, hated. Unless one would review how wildly the Palestinians celebrated the 3,000 people killed in America on 9/11, the Palestinian Authority, consistent with the religion of Islam, has abundantly demonstrated religious hatred and resentment of the modern democratic West. There is no Palestinian nation. There was no Palestinian nation before the creation of Israel. Palestinians regarded themselves simply as Arabs, and their land as part of Jordan. Many of the creators of the big names of the PLO did not even live in the Palestinian Mandate before the creation of modern Israel. Yasser Arafat, as well as Edward Said, who used to be the leading intellectual American mouthpiece for Arafat's PLO, both were born and raised in Cairo, Egypt. The Arab states always claimed to be outraged by the treatment of the Palestinians by the Jews. However, these same regimes treat their own Arab populations far worse than the Arabs are treated in Israel. The Arab citizens of Israel do not want to be put under the Palestinian Authority. These same representative Islamic states say nothing about the disenfranchised Palestinian majority that lives in Jordan. In 1970, Jordan's King Hussein offered Yasser Arafat prime ministership of Jordan. Yasser Arafat rejected that offer, choosing the more lucrative course of terrorism as the father of airline hijacking. King Hussein had to drive Arafat and his PLO out of Jordan. Still, the PLO does not call for the overthrow of the Hashemite rule of Jordan, and the PLO is still on good terms with the Hashemite monarchy. Hatred for Jews and Christians, hatred for people of the book, is the hallmark of Islam and its terrorist organizations. Today, over 80% of the Arabs in the West Bank and Gaza approve the suicide bombing of women and children if the targets are Jews. There is no Arab Peace Now movement, only an Israeli Peace Now movement. The people in Israel demanding concessions to Arabs in the name of peace is a major political group in Israel. Tell me if you can just name two or three Muslim Arabs who ever are heard to speak out regarding the rights and sufferings of the Jews. That would be against their religion, you see. However, there are hundreds of thousands of Jews in Israel and all over the world who speak out for the rights and to try to alleviate the sufferings of the Palestinians. In reality, the Jews and biblical Christians cannot expect fair treatment from Islamic people who do not even recognize their humanity. The Oslo peace process, which started in 1993, was based on the pledge of both parties to renounce violence as a means of settling their dispute. But the Palestinians, they never renounced violence. In the year 2000, they officially launched a new intifada against Israel that effectively stopped the so-called peace process. During the so-called peace process, in the 6 years between 1993 and 1999, there were over 4,000 terrorist incidents committed by Palestinians against Israelis. In those 6 years, more than 1,000 Israelis were killed as a result of Palestinian attacks. There were more deaths, yes, there were more deaths during the 6 years of the so-called peace process than in the previous 25 years. And during those 6 years, the Israelis, in the face of all the Palestinian murders, gave the Palestinians the West Bank and Gaza as a self-governing authority. They also gave them a 50,000-man armed so-called police force, almost all of which are terrorists. And 95%, they gave 95% of the territory that the PA had demanded. Now, you can call this generosity. Some people, I think more wisely, call it insanity on the part of Israel. For this so-called peace process received nothing but a total rejection of peace and suicide bombings and declared intifada war in 2000. One thing the terrorists do not want is peace with Israel. Arafat proved that by rejecting the offer of Ehud Barak, which had essentially contained everything on Arafat's dream sheet. The moral differences between Israel and the Palestinians are stunning polar opposites. Some have said that Israel kept all of their promises to the Palestinians, and the Palestinians kept none of them. Young Arabs are trained to blow themselves up as suicide bombers in shopping malls and crowded buses. The Palestinians blow themselves up along with men and women and children and innocent bystanders. These young people have been trained and sent by various branches of the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority treats young suicidal mass murderers as heroes. The family of the suicidal mass murderer is given money by the Palestinian Authority. The neighbors of the suicidal mass murderer rally to honor such mass murderers as martyrs for Allah. And this should tell everyone that Allah, the moon god of Islam, is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The methods of the Palestinian Authority are the same for both the so-called good Fatah terrorists and the bad Hamas terrorists. The so-called entire Palestinian Authority is corrupt in every way. It is so void of anything considered to be humanly moral that only corrupt people would think of dealing with it or trying to make agreements with such corruption. The Palestinian refugee problem is a problem that has been demonstrated with continued violence and corruption planned by the satanic religion of Islam. The answer is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Yeah, that's the answer. The answer is to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in the one true God. The light and truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer for such satanic violence and corruption. There is a so-called green line marking the boundary between Israel and its Arab neighbors. That green line is also the bottom line for what is the real problem in the Middle East. It's green because plants are growing in the desert on the Israeli side, but not on the Arab side. That's why it's green. The Jews got a small piece of land without oil and created abundant wealth and life with hope and a bright future. The Arabs got 10 times as much land and oil and have cultivated nothing but hate and violence and poverty and darkness and despair. The Palestinian state of Gaza, Hamasistan, is the most vile, hate-filled terrorism in the world. The world has never seen such terrorism, with its mainstay of suicide bombing and launching missiles at civilian population centers. The Palestinian community has been educated and trained to want to destroy Israel. They want the destruction of Israel and the death of Jews and Christians more than life itself. That's how they've been educated, to want the death of Jews and Christians more than life itself. If a nation state is all the Palestinians want, then Jordan would be the answer. It should be quite obvious that what Islam wants, and the Palestinians in particular want, is the destruction of all Jews and Christians, people of the book, as their satanic holy book calls us. Islam teaches that all non-Muslims are subhuman. Most Muslims have not read their own so-called holy book. I've read that satanic book. The reason the international community favors Islam is because this is the Antichrist war on the saints. Until the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction, the United States seemed willing to stand with Israel against the satanic evil and bondage of the moon god religion of jihad. It needs to be said with all holy boldness that the Palestinians enjoy international credibility because they want more than life itself to destroy the states that the Jews have created. Jew hate, the irrational constant of history, because people are born at enmity with the one true God who identified himself to the world that he created as the God of Israel. After almost 60 years, all the Jews and Gentiles who thought the Jewish state could solve the Jewish problem have been proven wrong. Only the Messiah can solve the Jewish problem, and he most certainly will, and it is soon now, for sure, to all those who know what God said. The Jews are still the most hated ethnic group in the world. Islamic radicals want to destroy Israel and kill every Jew and Christian. Islamic moderates want to kill all the Jews and Christians too. But they're called moderate because they do not talk about it in public. America's only dependable ally in the Middle East is Israel. And yet, whether it's Republican Tweedledee or Democrat Tweedledum, the U.S. government continues to pressure Israel into this insane, suicidal, so-called peace process with a terrorist foe dedicated to Israel and America's destruction. On September 11th, there was no people group on earth celebrating the death and destruction in America as were the Palestinians. How quickly it seems to have been forgotten that Israel is only the little Satan, and America is the great Satan, to the twisted thinking of the satanic bondage that is Islam. This history is why I am a fierce supporter of Israel's survival and have no sympathy for the Palestinian side in the conflict in the Middle East. I will not have such sympathy until the day comes when I can look into the Palestinians' eyes and see something other than death desired for Jews and Christians, people of the book. Until I can look into the Palestinian's eye and see something other than a lust to kill Jews and Christians, I'm not going to have any sympathy. I pray daily to have the grace to hug the Muslim's neck as he does his religion's duty to cut mine.
The Annapolis meeting was called to cast in concrete the plans for the destruction of the State of Israel. The Illuminati Satanist powers that operate behind the scenes and cause the governments, the Antichrist governments of this world, to do their bidding, have decided that it was a mistake to establish the modern Jewish state, and the nations of this world are set to destroy the nation of Israel. And that's what the Annapolis Conference did. And that Annapolis meeting also meant that America has sold its birthright as surely as Esau. America sold its birthright. Just recently, with little publication by the Antichrist media, the UN General Assembly and UN Security Council passed a resolution stating that whoever becomes the new prime minister of Israel, and that is surely going to be Benjamin Netanyahu, will be bound to continue the peace process, the land for peace insanity, in spite of the fact
that the Word of God says exactly the opposite. Exodus 23:32, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them nor with their gods." What's there not to understand about that? Anybody who thinks rationally knows appeasing terrorists only encourages more terrorism. The record is abundantly clear why God said, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them." However, an Antichrist assembly like the United Nations is going to determine that if God said make no covenant, they will bind the new Israeli prime minister to make covenants with them. And sadly, the next prime minister of Israel has already said that he will continue the negotiation process to make covenants with them, in spite of the fact that God has clearly said, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them." And Deuteronomy 7:2 as well, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." To show mercy unto them is to them a sign of weakness and Allah's guarantee of victory. This is why you cannot show them mercy. The only thing they understand is superior force. And it's sad, but it's a sad reality of the bondage of Satan's largest religion of Islam. And America will have sold its birthright as surely as Esau. The furious judgment of God Almighty upon America will be swift and consuming. So are all the paths of all that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I want to share this. A senior Hamas militant is suspected of torturing and killing the manager of a Christian bookstore in the Gaza Strip, who was found dead
about 6 months before Israel finally decided to take action against the thousands of missiles which had rained down upon Israeli civilian populations after Israel had given Gaza to the terrorists with the promise from the terrorists that there would be no more suicide bombings and no more missiles upon the Israeli civilian communities. Thousands of missiles have come down, but just a few months before Israel decided to finally take some action, be aware of this report, which happened just a few months ago.
According to Palestinian security officials, the body of Rami Ayad, who managed the only Christian bookstore in Gaza, was discovered last month riddled with gunshot and stab wounds. Ayad, a Baptist, was accused by Gaza-based Islamic groups of engaging in missionary activities. His bookstore, owned by the Palestinian Bible Society, was firebombed in April, after which he told relatives that he received numerous death threats from Islamists. Security officials associated with the Palestinian Authority President Muhammad Abbas Fatah organization said yesterday there is information that Ashraf Abu Layla, the central Gaza chief of Hamas' so-called military wing, was behind the murder, which is widely viewed as an anti-Christian attack. Witnesses said Ayad was publicly tortured a few blocks from his store before he was shot to death. The witnesses said they saw three armed men, two of whom were wearing masks, beat Ayad repeatedly with clubs and the butts of their guns while they accused him of attempting to spread Christianity in Gaza. The witnesses said that after sustaining the beating, Ayad was shot by all three men. Ayad left behind a pregnant wife and two young children. According to the new military wing, to enforce Muslim law in Gaza, all Christians, now you hear this, all Christians in Gaza engaged in missionary activity will be dealt with harshly. Hamas leadership has said that Christians could continue living safely in Gaza only if they accepted Islamic law. My goodness. Such a great success, the Palestinian state of Gaza, huh? Let's expand it 10 times. And this is from Jerry Golden in Jerusalem. In round numbers, there are about 200,000 Arabs who call themselves Palestinians living in East Jerusalem, about 1.3 million Arabs living in Israel proper, who are Israeli citizens and enjoy all the benefits the Israeli Jews have. But the Arabs living in East Jerusalem are not Israeli citizens. They are permanent residents under the Israeli law. They have nearly the same rights as the citizens. And this brings us to a very large problem in dividing Jerusalem and putting East Jerusalem under the Palestinian control. The PA wants that part of the city as the Palestinian Authority capital, but they do not want to give up their permanent residence status, you see. They are human beings with certain legal rights under Israeli law. Israel cannot just give them away like pieces of property, or they can do it with their own people. Oh, Israel can give away like pieces of property their own Jewish people, but they can't do it with the Arabs. In the meantime, we're seeing a panic within the community of East Jerusalem, where hundreds of Palestinians are lining up every day at the Israeli offices asking for Israeli citizenship so that they will not be left out or placed under PA control. They simply do not want to lose their medical benefits and all the other rights they now enjoy, which are higher than any Arab country in the Middle East. While 200,000 East Jerusalem Arabs have the legal right to work in Israel, there are over 100,000 sneaking into Israel to work illegally every day, many risking long jail terms or much worse if caught. So you see, 200,000 Arabs in East Jerusalem don't want to give up what others risk their life for every day. And if they were to be forced to make a decision to leave their homes, much like the Jews of Gaza, the government would be obligated to provide them with homes elsewhere in compensation. The 9,000 Jews of Gaza still has not completely been compensated, and many are homeless today. What would this government do with 200,000 homeless Arabs forced to leave East Jerusalem? There are many security reasons why the dividing of Jerusalem just isn't going to be a very good idea at all. There are many security reasons that dividing Jerusalem will bring Qassams and other terrorist activity right to the homes of the Jews throughout Jerusalem and all the neighborhoods around Jerusalem. Not to mention the so-called Green Line puts Qassam rockets within range of Israel's only international airport. So if you're talking about security or economy to divide Jerusalem, it's an impossible situation and makes the total destruction of Israel more evident. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.